from the pleading requirements of Federal Rule of Civil Procedure 8. Prior to the change, the Federal Rule of Civil Procedure 84 provided that infringement pleadings that complied with the Form 18 automatically satisfied the pleading requirements. And so that has changed, and that did change. And people apparently didn't, some people didn't understand that. So as the country prepares, so of course they can't get away from political news, but as the country prepares for the presidential election, a flurry of recent court rulings have blocked or blunted the efforts of three state legislators, or legislatures, excuse me, to impose barriers to the ballot box. So litigation activity over strict photo ID laws or other voting restrictions in Texas, North Carolina, and North Dakota has quieted, and leaving voters, principally minority voters in these states, in a better position than they were a few months ago, but still worse off than in the last presidential election. And, you know, that's a problem because many people, you know, don't have the kinds of identification that some of the states were trying to require in order to vote, and especially some of these strict photo ID laws. Frankly, your grandmother probably doesn't have it, and maybe grandfather, who no longer drive, they don't bother to get any kind of a state ID because, you know, what do they need it for? And yet, in some of these states, they would be blocked from voting. However, it has a disproportionate effect on minority voters who, you know, may not have driver's license, especially, as I said, the elderly. Well, there's one legal battle apparently has ended, where some people called it a legal war, between Gawker Media and former professional wrestler Hulk Hogan. And apparently the company's founder hopes the case will live on as an example of how litigation finance affects justice. And not exactly sure what he's talking about, but certainly someone with deep pockets can often prevail just because the other party doesn't have the money to continue the litigation, which is very expensive. And that is the problem in family law. Very often, someone who has a good pendenti, what we call pendenti litis, after a family law case, a divorce case is filed, someone can file a motion for pendenti litis relief, meaning require the other person to pay expenses, pay support, etc.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
We're glad that this matter is resolved.
That's Hillary Clinton's communications chief aboard the Clinton plane last night after the FBI announces it's again found that Clinton did not commit a crime when she had a private email server. In a letter sent to Congress on Saturday, Director James Comey said agents examined thousands of newly discovered emails and didn't find any reason to change the opinion from July when the Bureau declined to recommend charges against the former Secretary of State. Republican Donald Donald Trump telling one of several rally crowds Sunday, the FBI and Clinton know she's guilty of breaking several laws.
And now it's up to the American people to deliver justice at the ballot box.
Appointed under Bill Clinton, the first woman to serve as U.S. Attorney General has died at 78. Janet Reno's goddaughter says she passed away of complications from Parkinson's disease. This is USA Radio News.
It started at bunco night. A little tickle in my throat, says Sandra. Then comes Colin barking like a seal. That cough, that's the flu. And then it spreads to Edna, to Wiley, to Marjorie. But when it comes to your door, you won't be answering because you got your flu shot at Rite Aid, where they care about you and your health. So while they're seeing doctors and sweating through fevers, you'll be teaching your granddaughter the two-deck shuffle. Shield yourself at Rite Aid before it's too late. If you're over 65, the CDC recommends flu and pneumonia shots. No appointments necessary, and they're free with Medicare Part B. Rite Aid. With us, it's personal. Flu vaccines available while supplies last. Age restrictions apply in some states. See pharmacy for details.
As 2016 winds down, LegalZoom asks, did you accomplish everything you set out to do this year? There's still time. Say you'd like to finally start that dream business, but don't know whether to incorporate or form an LLC. Maybe you're ready to plan for your family's future, but aren't sure whether a last will or a living trust is right for you. That's where LegalZoom's network of independent attorneys available in 48 states can help, without billing by the hour, since LegalZoom isn't a law firm. LegalZoom.com. Legal help is here.
Good news for drivers in the South and Mid-Atlantic states. A gasoline pipeline in Alabama, ripped apart by an explosion a week ago, is back in service. Colonial Pipeline saying the pipeline resumed operations yesterday morning. The explosion and fire were the result of a repair crew striking the pipeline with a piece of heavy equipment. One person died, four others were injured in that explosion 25 miles southwest of Birmingham, Alabama. The pipeline carries a lot of gasoline to the eastern part of the nation, and its outage caused some price hikes as well as some shortages in some areas.
Momentum is everything you need.
And momentum is what Republican National Committee Chairman Reince Priebus tells ABC's This Week the Republican nominee Donald Trump has on his side on this day before Election Day.
We're ahead by over 100,000 votes in North Carolina from where we were 4 years ago. We were down by 455,000 ballots 4 years ago. We won North Carolina.
Trump will be visiting five states today. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, you can't see me because of radio, and I can't see you because I'm totally blind. My blindness doesn't hold me back, but I fight to stay awake during the day because I'm not sleeping through the night. Often I struggle to concentrate and just keep up. Sound familiar? You're not alone. But this is not a sleep disorder. It's actually 924. Learn about the link between total blindness and your symptoms. Visit learnmore924.com or call 855-856-2424.
Sponsored by Vanda Pharmaceuticals.
No serious injuries reported, but some buildings have been damaged in central Oklahoma by an earthquake overnight. The magnitude 5.0 quake located near Cushing, about 55 miles northeast of Oklahoma City. Damage has been reported there, with most of it being located in the city center. Damage ranging from broken windows to facades being toppled. The quake knocking out power to the city as well, though most of it's now been restored. A sheriff's deputy in Georgia is dead after being shot last evening. Two Peach County deputies shot in Byron. One of them died. The two reportedly came under fire while responding to a dispute between neighbors, and a suspect has been arrested but is now reportedly hospitalized. A Republican election judge in Illinois now facing felony voter fraud charges after investigators say she turned in her dead husband's ballot. Audrey Cook says her late husband wanted to vote for Donald Trump. Madison County prosecutors filing the charges on Friday. They've also removed Cook from her post as an election judge. With a look at how things went at the theater box offices over the weekend, here's correspondent Cheryl Simone.
A Marvel superhero taking the top spot at the box office, Doctor Strange with Benedict Cumberbatch as this week's top movie in North America in its first week in theaters. The musical Trolls, starring Justin Timberlake, finished in second place. The new Mel Gibson film, Hacksaw Ridge, is third in its first week.
And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what. You sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
and I'm Pat Gregory, handyman extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterdon Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home sweet home.
Local weather here at HuntertonChamberRadio.com. We've got about 50 degrees right outside our studio here in Flemington. Sunny today, high in the 50s. Clear on the overnight, low down in the 30s. Tuesday, creeping up into the 60s. The mid-60s, a slight chance of showers late Tuesday night. Showers lightly on Wednesday, otherwise cloudy, high near 58. Cloudy on the overnight Wednesday night, low in the 30s. Looks like the rest of the week, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, even into Sunday, at least from here, our perspective, highs during the daytime, upper 50s to 60s and down into the 30s at night. Stay tuned for Chef Bill's Table.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Hey, welcome to the table. Chef Bill here, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Chef Bill's Table coming every Monday, or most Mondays, live, talking about food, beverages, holidays, occasions, techniques, sometimes a few recipes thrown in there for good mix, and happy to be here. Nice crisp fall morning here in the Northeast. Oh, on the horizon now, Thanksgiving. Last week, the Times had their section there. The nice collection of recipes from over the years from various authors and columnists. Good variety in there, and even a timeline, if you're entertaining, how to kind of keep the stress out of it. And after all, really, any event, of course, we do it in restaurants all the time. We have to get ready every meal. Kind of curtain call comes. It's all in the planning. Caterers especially depend almost exclusively on that. The event is, you know, they get the food and beverages right, but everything is logistics and planning. And if you're having to prepare for more people than you usually do, then getting your food purchased, make sure your plates are there so you don't have to scramble around. I know we've all been there. We're looking for that special pan that we need for this certain dish, or how are we going to present this, or do we have enough room on the table. Planning the menu, obviously very important. And then from there you decide your purchasing, getting in the right product. I know even in the restaurant I'll get the non-perishables in earlier. It just saves a lot of rushing around at the end, and also lessens the chance that your shopping might, or your store might be out of something. Sometimes you could even get price breaks if you buy early. So plan it out. We'll go into Thanksgiving next week. What's this week? Not too many exciting things on food holiday. Pizza with Everything Day is the 12th, November 12th. Pizza with everything, and I guess we all know Americans like to pile a lot of stuff on pizza. Come a long way from the simple bread and tomato and cheese. And it's a nice way to get, maybe with vegetables especially, nice extra nutrition in a pizza. This time of year, of course, Oktoberfest is just behind us. We're still offering the German sausages at Jake's. Very popular this year. Presented them a little different way. And good winter food, good with beer. So we're going to keep it going for a little while. But sauerkraut pizza. If you like sauerkraut, of course, you'll have it with anything. And if you don't like sauerkraut, like, oh, that's really kind of strange to put that on a pizza. Now, we'll make them. I'll probably put it out there as a special a couple of times. I like them. So I like sauerkraut. But the best sauerkraut, of course, is one that has already had some meats cooked in it. You've got that flavor from either the pork or the sausages. And we braise ours with some onion and some apple cider, although you can use wine, you can use hard cider. Some people put sliced apples or even a little applesauce. You want something to sweeten up the sauerkraut. But braised for a long time, and then, of course, we cook, steam it with the sausages, so it's got a little bit of the pork flavor. So this sauerkraut, that really you want it to be nice and soft. You don't want it crispy, like right out of the bag or out of the can. We like the fresh sauerkraut. We get big barrels of it. Big 5-gallon buckets. And you just have a regular pizza. Now, we use a whole wheat crust at Jake's, but you can certainly do any of your favorites. But sauerkraut, you want it, as they say, cooked very well and chopped. And you're making a regular pizza. Just do your tomato sauce and your little bit of Parmesan. And sprinkle the sauerkraut there, your mozzarella, and then you top it with pepperoni. So I guess it makes sense. It's nice. Smoked pork product or cured pork product with sauerkraut, but it adds a juiciness and a crunch texture to it. Pretty good. Check it out. Today I was thinking, well, you know, just foreshadowing a little Thanksgiving, wild rice stuffing. A lot of times you'll see that offered this time of year, either as a side dish or as the stuffing. We used to use it in a combination with maybe a brown rice and still put a little toasted bread in there to help bind it, but you could certainly just stuff your bird with rice. Normally we would do this for, say, a Cornish hen, a smaller bird, and you know, you're not taking as long to cook it either. The rice is already cooked, but we would usually bind it with a little bit of egg and some seasoning, herbs, and use that inside the Cornish hens. So it got to me thinking about rice in general. So today we're going to explore, oh, maybe a little general terminology with rice and more or less how to handle the different types of rice. Rice is one of the great grains out there, feeds a lot of the world. I've gotten into it a little more lately. Sometimes, you know, especially if you're avoiding the wheat or the gluten, rice really can do a lot. Behaves well as a starch. There's no gluten in rice, but rice flour certainly is a good frying medium. It's nice and crispy. Adds Christmas to even beer. It's an adjunct that in this country anyway, we put some rice in some of the beers. In Europe, you find it more just barley-based, but in the United States, rice will go to add a nice lighter texture to even beer. And it can be, you can get oil out of rice, you got flour, you can get, of course, rice wine, fermented product, and of course from there make rice wine vinegar. So rice, very, very versatile. And surprising, again, you can get rice bran oil. So we're going to break for a couple of messages. We'll come back and start talking about rice at Chef Bill's Table. You tell yourself you're not my kind.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
I'm your eyes remain, stop me when I'm passing by.
It's time to visit Pambee's, the newest ice cream shop in town. Pambee's Purely Delicious ice cream, gelato, and sorbet made in Hunterdon County from unique blends of natural extracts, herbs, and spices. Created with a rich, creamy texture bursting with flavor. Tickle your palate with exotic flavors such as rose cardamom, hot mango, and ginger lemon. Or satisfy your craving for dark chocolate, pecans, and caramel. Located on Route 31 south of Clinton. Pambee's. Purely delicious.
See, now all my flavors are guaranteed to satisfy.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi and Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms. When they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi and Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi and Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
We're back at the table here, Chef Bill's Table, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. So, rice, where does it come from? How long has it been around? It's been in China probably for over 3,000 years. Origin probably South India, maybe Thailand. It's the seed of a plant, as is wild rice. Just wild rice is kind of a cousin, but different. Different species altogether. So it was in China. Persians brought it to Mesopotamia. Greece. Arabs brought it to Egypt, Morocco, and Spain. From there to Portugal and Holland. North Africa in the 17th century. Crusaders brought it to France. And of course, Piedmont region, Italy, very well known for rice. There's really a couple of different types of rice. Although you see many different colors, there's red, there's black, there's jasmine, there's basmati. Really all falls into two categories. The indica is a long grain. Long grain rice, the grains tend to stay separate, which for a lot of our dishes, this is what we like. The japonica is a short grain, and those tend to stick together. So you think of long grain, short grain. Some rices we call a medium grain, which is actually the short grain variety. The medium, think of the arborio, the risotto rice. And that, of course, is where you're not really having the grains stick together, but it forms like a creamy sauce. And that is, you know, something to do with the preparation the fact that liquid's added slowly and the stirring. You can get the same effect with pasta. If you stir it in the liquid, it'll shake off some of the starch and thicken the sauce a little bit for you. So we have, again, you know, all the varieties you see out there come from either long grain or short grain. So when we're picking a rice for a dish, we have to figure out what we want it to do. Do we want it to be separate grains like in a jambalaya or a pilaf or even a paella? Or do we want the grains to stick together like we do more in a risotto or in a sushi, a rice pudding? And we go from there. Now, the other thing with rice is the amount of processing it goes through. And, of course, the brown rice, we retain the brand. It does not get polished. Definitely more nutrition, more flavor, a little chewier. Of course, it takes longer to cook. You're doing short grain brown rice will take probably 20 to 30 minutes to cook. The long grain could be 40, 45 minutes, whereas your white rice would take less time. Of course, it doesn't have that other layer to go through. So if the brand comes off, now and gets polished, we get our white rice, raw rice, paddy rice, they call that, can have up to 20-25% moisture. The raw rice, we always like to wash first, get some of the starch off the outside there. There's converted rice, which is the process. Most people like the converted rice. Very predictable, very easy to cook. Grains stay separate. And so that basically is it's a parboiled rice. Even though it still takes 15 to 20 minutes to cook, it's parboiled and then dried. But what happens is a brown rice is parboiled. Some of the nutrients don't boil away. They kind of go into the grain, into the endosperm. Then the hull is taken off. There's boil in the bag. There's different levels of processing. There's even microwave rice. Those things can get very, very expensive, especially when you figure you have your plain rice. Usually the liquid you add is almost two times the volume. So, and that liquid gets absorbed. Some of it evaporates in cooking, of course. But your rice, like any dried grain, it basically doubles in volume. So whatever you're spending per pound, of course, you're going to get double that in weight or volume out of it. So pretty economical food. If you buy it highly processed and pre-cooked, then the more processing, of course, the more expensive it gets. So keep that in mind when you're buying it. Sometimes it's convenient to have, you know, especially a single person, I don't want to make a whole pot of rice. You know, and it's difficult doing a small batch on a stove. Rice cookers are very handy because it's all done by time, and you measure the liquid in there. The heat shuts off and holds the rice hot. Pretty handy. We've used them before. And if you have to keep rice warm for a while, it's a nice little piece of equipment to have. And as some, when my son visited friends in Costa Rica, a couple of my workers, and of course a rice-based diet, and the mom she had a rice cooker, and she would cook rice in the morning, add some for breakfast, and then it would still be hot there for lunchtime. You'll see them in your Chinese takeout places. A big rice cooker always has the hot rice in there. So if you like it, and it's kind of foolproof, not a bad little piece of equipment to have. Now, the converted rice, as I said, is processed. You've got plenty of nutrition there. You don't lose the nutrients as you would if you're parboiling white rice or boiling rice. Best to measure liquid. Brown rice, you just really need to cook usually an inch or so of water above the level of the rice. Not as important to measure that volume of water because you can add water. The brown rice is going to retain nutrients, whereas white rice, if you just boil it in a big batch of water like pasta and drain it, you're losing a lot of the nutrition that's there. So we like to measure for pilafs especially. That's your basic one to start with, instead of just boiling rice. A pilaf, the liquid could be 1.5 to 2 times the volume of the rice. But we start with a pilaf. Let's say we have 1.5 cups of rice, and it would be, you know, 2, 2.5 cups of liquid. We like to use broth for a little bit more flavor. And remember, all this is going to get absorbed. A pilaf, simply you use the long grain, and you're sautéing the rice first. Coats the grains, keeps them separate, flavors them, you know, starts the cooking process a little bit. You want it to toast a little bit. You add the liquid, bring it to a boil, and then cover the pot. And in a 350-degree oven, another 15 minutes or so. And then take it out of the oven and let it sit covered for another 15 minutes. It's going to keep cooking. If you take the lid off too early, it's not going to be fully cooked. So you need that resting time. I think what a lot of people do, and even making rice on the stovetop, is they keep stirring it, and it gets sticky. And, of course, this is part of the, if you're making a risotto, you want that starch to come off the rice. But in a pilaf, you want the grains separately. Say, or a roast compollo or a jambalaya. When you're following those recipes, resist the urge to stir the rice. Once it comes to a simmer, and you don't want it at a rolling boil. It's the same temperature, whether it's rolling boil or simmer. Just that with the bubbles breaking the surface there, you don't want to evaporate the liquid too much. Then you can, of course, burn. Exception to that is your paella, which is cooked in an open pan. And actually, part of the delicacy is the brown, I wouldn't say burnt, but toasted rice that kind of sticks to the pan happens towards the end of cooking. Because you're not stirring a paella. Once the rice is in and you have it mixed up in there, you know, dispersed through the liquid, leave it alone. Just let it simmer away. We've got a break for news on the half hour here, and we'll go back through some procedures for handling the rice, the long and the short of it. Chef Bill's Table.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
We're glad that this matter is resolved.
That's Hillary Clinton's communications chief aboard the Clinton plane last night after the FBI announces it's again found that Clinton did not commit a crime when she had a private email server. In a letter sent to Congress on Saturday, Director James Comey said agents examined thousands of newly discovered emails and didn't find any reason to change the opinion from July when the Bureau declined to recommend charges against the former Secretary of State. Republican Donald Trump telling one of several rally crowds Sunday the FBI and Clinton know she's guilty of breaking several laws.
And now it's up to the American people to deliver justice at the ballot box.
Appointed under Bill Clinton, the first woman to serve as U.S. Attorney General has died at 78. Janet Reno's goddaughter says she passed away of complications from Parkinson's disease. This is USA Radio News.
Have you ever noticed your hair breaking off in a shower? Or has your hair become flat and lifeless? Revive your hair with Cell Therapy by Ovation, a breakthrough treatment not found in any other hair care line. Cell Therapy's unique blend of nourishing proteins, amino acids, and key nutrients treat the scalp and cuticle, defending against breakage, for hair that is thicker, stronger, longer, and healthier. Hundreds of thousands of clients swear by Ovation Cell Therapy. In fact, over 94% of Ovation customers say they recommend cell therapy to their friends. And Ovation cell therapy is risk-free with their 365-day, 100% money-back guarantee. So stop the breakage, repair split ends, and add more bounce and shine into your poor lifeless hair with Ovation cell therapy. Just go online to ovationhair.com and new customers get a special introductory discount when you select USA News at checkout. Great hair is just one click away at ovationhair.com, and remember to select USA News.
If I can reach the stars,
pull one down for you, shining on my heart, so you could see the truth.
All right, we're back at the table here, Chef Bill's table. So, again, for this peel-off method and following this procedure with a lot of your one-pot rice dishes, this is what you do. You'll, again, you have your vegetables, or if you're starting with chicken in the case of a roast con pollo, or with your chorizo and your sausage or chicken, or even seafood in a paella. You want to get the rice started sautéing with your aromatics, and then add your liquid, broth or water. You want the grains. This will help the grains remain separate. And again, once the mixture is coming to a simmer and control that heat, you could do it stovetop covered. That's why we like the oven, because you seal it up in a pan there. You don't have to worry about it evaporating too much. The oven is kind of slows it down a little bit. You're getting even heat all the way around. It risks burning in the pot. Lessens the chance of you burning it in the pot. So the risotto method, I guess what we're going to call it, is with the short grain rice, and you want your rice to be creamy. This calls for adding hot liquid as the rice is cooking. It's kind of absorbing it, and the between that slow addition of liquid and stirring, the rice gets a little creamy. Some of the starch is coming off the outside of the rice. Again, just like the pilaf method, you're not losing nutrients because everything is staying trapped in the dish. The pilaf, anything that's come off the rice in the liquid, of course, stays there because you're not dumping the liquid out. You're letting the rice absorb it. And with the risotto, same way. You've got a little bit of it, almost like a sauce. Now, you shouldn't have to add cream to a risotto to make it creamy. That starch should make it creamy enough. A little pat of butter at the end for a finish isn't a bad thing. But basically, you should not have to add cream. Now, sometimes people make, quote, risottos out of other grains that aren't as starchy, or maybe even vegetables. Kind of the term is there, not usually to say it's a rice dish, but it's cooked in the method of a risotto. And all well and good. A very simple example would be even orzo pasta. If you cook pasta that way, adding the liquid slowly, it'll throw off the starch and it'll be creamy. So, and this is kind of a new way some chefs are cooking pasta, even to get that, especially with what we call a whiter or clearer sauce, it gets a little bit of thickener into it and lets the sauce cling to the pasta. So the risotto method, again, we start with sautéing the rice just like we do in the pilaf method. But normally I will add wine. If you don't want wine, you don't have to, but wine is the first addition, and you're stirring it and letting it evaporate. Risotto is a nice 20-minute meal. Problem is you got to stand there for 20 minutes. You can't walk away from it too long. You've got to be on a low simmer. You need your broth to be hot. You can measure it if you want it exact, or if you don't mind having a little broth left over, just heat it up. And you'll do three or four additions. And with this rice also, the risotto especially, you want it to be a little bit al dente. You don't want it to be mushy or soft all the way through. You want a little bite to it is good. And you'll taste as you go. Just to take a couple of grains and when the rice is cooked to your satisfaction after, again, 15 minutes or so, then you can finish. Now, ingredients to go into a risotto, depending on how long they take to cook, is when you will add them in. I like to cook ingredients, at least par cook them before the risotto, and then stir them in towards the end. When that rice, when you know it's almost there, just one more addition of liquid, then stir in those ingredients. And if they're already cooked, they're going to retain their character, their texture, especially if it's a vegetable. Say, again, a common example this time of year would be butternut squash. Squash, there's that fine line between staying in little cubes and where it turns into a puree. And you'll find that with squashes, winter squashes, and of course some of your root vegetables will tend to do that. But if you're having a mushroom risotto, I like to cook the mushrooms first and then add them in. Now, what we'll do with our risotto with the restaurant, the mushroom and spinach risotto for us here at Scallops, for example, we use some chicken broth in that, but we also use some dried porcinis. We soak those in hot water and make what we call a little tea, mushroom tea. So after they're soaked, we pull them out of the water. We strain the water, so if there was any sand or dirt in there, of course, that gets left behind. So we have this nice, clear, brown liquid. Looks like real dark, well, it looks like coffee when we first start. And we'll chop up the now rehydrated porcinis, that nice, earthy, and of course, drying them gives them a different kind of flavor. Back in the broth that we've, or the liquid that we saved, and we add some more water to it. So it's kind of flavors that risotto nicely, even though we'll use regular button mushrooms. A few ladlefuls of the porcini broth with the chopped porcinis gives it another dimension, another characteristic, as you will. So as I say, risotto, finish with your ingredients so they retain their color, their texture. Cheese at the end if you like. Don't have to. One thing you remember about rice also is to salt early. That's how we like to use broth to cook the pilaf in, because the chicken broth already is salty, or vegetable broth, or beef, if you like. Otherwise, it's tough to season rice at the end with salt. So taste the water that you're using. You want it to, you know, have a slight salty taste. Otherwise, the rice will be very flat tasting. Now, there's some cases where you don't want salty rice. Let's say if you're making a dessert rice. And even in the case of sushi rice. Sushi rice, of course, the short grain, you're washing it several times. You want to get the excess starch off of it. It's still a sticky rice by nature. Cook the rice in its liquid. Again, we're talking 1.5 to 2 times the volume, depending. And the sushi rice is cooled by spreading it out. Of course, the ideal thing, a wooden paddle so you don't crush the grains. And I would recommend that for a risotto also when you're stirring rice like that. I like to use a wooden spoon rather than a metal spoon so it doesn't crush the grains as they get cooked. So your sushi rice, you're not worrying about salting it, but you're seasoning it afterwards with the rice vinegar that's been sweetened with a little mirin, normally a little sweet and sour, and kind of mix it into the rice carefully as it cools. Sprinkle it in there and kind of stir it in, so that's how that rice gets seasoned. Sushi rice, of course, best at room temperature, although rice does have protein, you do need to treat it like any other protein. Watch the amount of time it's at room temperature. Should be either kept hot or kept chilled. Sushi now, I know a lot of times you get it now, it's the rice is cold, but ideally it would be cooled off to room temperature and used immediately. Interesting how the rice now has really become the center of the dish. Many sushi chefs will say you've got to learn how to cook the rice before the other stuff, you know, learning how to carve the fish and whatever other ingredients you're using, of course, is some skill, but the main thing is the rice. And when sushi was first done, it was the opposite. There was a way to preserve the fish. It took a long time, obviously, but the fish would be sealed up in rice, and the proteins, as they broke down, would help preserve the fish. When you were ready to eat the fish, you kind of scraped the rice off, threw that away, and just had the fish. And it's evolved into this from a slow method of preserving fish to be now very fresh raw fish, and the rice has become the star of the dish. Funny how things work, right? I prefer the current version, right, with the nice flavored rice and the barely cooked or raw seafood. So long grain, short grain, brown rice, which a lot of people like. We do a brown rice and quinoa pilaf at the restaurant. We make the two pilafs separately and then combine them afterwards. Quinoa is very dense. We like the flavor and texture of the brown rice mixed in with it. The quinoa, it's a nice blend. Brown rice, if you're substituting that in recipes that normally call for white rice, it's going to behave a little differently. It's going to take longer to cook, and it may require a little adjustment with the liquid. But what you can do is parboil the brown rice before you use it in the recipe. And nutrients will stay in there, so you, maybe 10 to 15 minutes, parboil the rice, drain it in a colander or a strainer. And at this point, you can use it in your recipe and then follow your cooking times for your white rice. Or you could chill it. You could keep it chilled. We keep the pilaf chilled and, of course, can steam it as we need it. But like any cooked protein, it's going to last. It's got a few days shelf life. So if you tend to use rice a lot and you like the brown rice instead, this would be a way to adapt it for your recipes. You do get that extra flavor in there. You get, again, the nutritional benefit. Another dimension, it's whole grains are now, you know, we're realizing that the less processed, the better in our diets. So some things that we can do with rice, again, now we've got this, so we've got our brown rice cooked ahead. Other rices, fried rice is great, and if you've ever had steamed rice left over from, say, your takeout or from a meal you've made, that's the stuff to use for fried rice. You can't use fresh, hot cooked rice for that. It doesn't work. You need it to be cold. And the short grain rice is nice. We'll use, we do a kimchi fried rice. We use the long grain. We use actually our pilaf rice, so it's already got some flavor in it. Fried rice, cooked brown rice, you could use it for that also. Any kind of stir-fried dish. And we use the kimchi rice as kind of, it's a side dish, but you could make a main dish out of fried rice by just adjusting the amount of rice to meat. But we do like always have a little pork product in there. Kimchi, of course, when we do it for seafood, we don't put pork in there, but the kimchi kind of helps. It's a fermented product, gives it some nice flavor. But we usually scramble an egg in there, a little protein. But fried rice, you have whatever vegetables, whatever meats you're using, you get those browned and set aside. And then you have your cold rice. We start with some aromatics, some scallion, ginger, garlic, and get that going in some oil. We use canola oil. You could use peanut oil if you like. And you simply add the rice to it with the vegetables. And, you know, if you're using a wok or a big skillet, keep it moving. You want a hot pan so the rice doesn't stick. So you've tossed your rice around, it kind of crisps it up a little bit, flavors it, and as I say, you can do any kind of variations you like with that. With the kimchi, again, we scramble egg on the side and chop it up and put it in there, but you could certainly do that. If you're doing one or two orders, just do it right in the wok. Just beat an egg. We throw a little mirin in there, the sweet rice wine, kind of instead of a milk or a dairy product. The mirin flavors it and actually lets it brown a little bit too, that sugar in the wine. So that's the way to use some leftover short grain rice. We're risotto, of course, there's ways if you have your risotto left over, which hopefully you don't, but if you do, a couple of ways to use that too. We'll come back at after these couple of messages, and we'll talk about that, Chef Bill's Table.
I'm Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntingChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, law offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Back at the table. So, talking about rice, and as I say, I'm sure you all have favorite recipes you use, but really it's trying to get across more of the technique of how to handle the short and the long grain. Wild rice, of course, again, we mentioned stuffing with it this time here. The wild rice, cooking that takes a little bit longer, again, 40 minutes to 50 minutes to an hour. What we used to do is we would soak the rice first in some hot water. Now, I wouldn't use hot water right out of the faucet because it's been sitting in a tank for whatever. It's just, and if you have a softener, of course, you've got the salt in there. It's not the best thing to cook with. But heat water, let the rice soak, and we would do this a couple of changes of water to kind of soften it up. The wild rice, the looks like little black needles there. It takes a while to open up that husk there and get the seed out with cooking. You'll see they'll start to burst a little bit. You'll see the slight gray of the inside there come out. Do it by taste. It's again, and there the water ratio probably 4 parts to 1 if you're just starting from scratch, because you've got A, a lot of absorption, and then B, some evaporation going on. Again, salt the water, but you want to do your wild rice for recipes. You like to cook that separately and blend it in at the end. If you're doing a mixture, now I know there are peel-off mixes out there with brown and wild rice or long grain and wild rice, but of course those have been processed to the point where the wild rice will cook in the same amount of time as the white rice. But if you're doing your own, and wild rice, pretty expensive also. And this is why we stretch it out cost-wise. And it's got a strong taste, unique taste. It does, just like quinoa, it benefits from actually being blended with, favored as brown and wild rice together. Good nutty flavor, good nutrition, a little more texture to it. Very, very good side dish. Getting, you know, away from just plain white rice. Although, white rice, if you treat it properly, nothing wrong with that either. I made a green rice before. You're doing, again, a peel-off method, but I would puree a little bit of roasted poblano pepper, and actually I used outer leaves of romaine that were blanched. And, of course, the rice picks up this emerald color. You add your green puree there to the cooking water, and the rice will absorb that pale green color. Real pretty and tasty, too. The poblano there kind of infuses a little nice heat to it. Now, risotto, again, if you have some left over, a couple things. I've actually I've made risotto just for the purpose of repurposing it. And I think I used to call it, I did a mixture with chicken livers. Now, usually you can see one of the classic risotto dishes is with some chicken livers, sautéed livers folded in at the end. But what I did is I made it, I think we called it, well, in the kitchen anyway, called it chicken liver surprise. But you could do this with a nice ragu bolognese or even a mushroom ragu. As you make your stew, you know, let's say you made a chicken livers marsala, for example. So you have the dish, the livers are diced small, they're cooked. Of course, when you saute livers, get them browned, let them drain a little bit, and then don't have that liquid back and it gets a little cloudy on you. Just like if you're cooking kidneys or other meats, organ meats like that, let the stuff drain a little bit. But you have, say you've got a nice chicken livers marsala or some kind of stew, and you want to serve it as maybe a main course, or I would do it as a first course in an Italian restaurant, in a custard cup or a ramekin, something oven-proof. You have your risotto and your basic, what we would call the risotto Milanese, with a little pinch of saffron and a little Parmesan finish. It's chilled, so it sticks together because of all that starch. So we would butter the ramekin or the custard cup, soft butter, and then line it with a thin layer of the rice right up the sides of the cup. The stew mixture, of course, and this works better if it's even chilled, you put some of that, fill the cup with that, and then seal it in with more rice. So it's completely encased, this whole mixture. Now, you can bake that in a water bath in the oven until it's heated through. Simply turn to serve, just simply turn the dish over. The rice slides out, this nice little dome with the sauce or the stew inside. Just like one of those lava cakes, right? And this would be a nice way, if you had a larger party. We would do it in restaurants for a la carte service or for parties, to be able to serve risotto to a lot of people at one time. And it's just a little bit different presentation with it. And you'll find this with many grains, just like polenta. If you have some of that extra, you cool it off in the sheet pan. You can cut shapes out of it. You can use it even as a pizza if you'd like. So I never worry about making too much on these things, because if you have a way to, you know, like your leftover short grain rice, you make fried rice. You have leftover risotto. The other thing, the arancini, the rice balls that are popular now. Take a nice chunk of mozzarella. Sometimes when the risotto, before it's chilled, the chefs will mix in maybe some peas or something, or some peppers, flavor the rice. But basically the rice balls, you've got a little chunk of cheese in there, and you form a ball around the cheese, and then you keep these chilled. You have a steady standard breading procedure with the flour and beaten egg and breadcrumbs. And you coat your rice in this, and then you can deep fry it. If they're little balls, if you're... you could make little croquettes out of it, and even... shallow fry if you want. I mean, the round shape is nice, but practically speaking, if you're not going to deep fry, then you may want to make little ovals or little patties out of them. But the idea is to have the cheese inside. The cheese melts. The telefono is known in Italian. You want the cheese is cooked. When you break the rice ball in half, the cheese stretches like telephone wires. That's a sign that it's cooked properly. So, many things to do with rice for main dishes, for side dishes. Leftovers can be turned into things. No excuse for wasting rice, and no excuse for not making a little bit extra, because you can always turn it into something else. Rice pudding is an exception to that. I would not use leftover pilaf to make rice pudding. That deserves its own special treatment. We like to cook that in milk, sugared milk, a little cinnamon. I like the short grain rice for that. And the ratio could be almost 4-1. You want the rice very, very cooked, very soft. The rice imperatrice, the empress, nice dish that's kind of like kicked up rice pudding. Calls for some candied fruit, some rum. But what you're doing is you have your vanilla rice, which we call the rice cooked in milk. You have some custard with some gelatin, like if you're making a pastry cream. Then you have whipped cream, and you kind of fold.